The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of a big interview with a wonderful guest. That's what we do here. It's the main show, and my guest today is someone who is affectionately known as RB3. That's his nickname for the Schmoes Know podcast, Schmoes Know movie show in Schmoville, and life. But we are going to address him proper as Robert Butler III. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Ken. This is a real honor. I was telling you before we started, this is actually like a dream of mine. I've been such a fan for a long time.
That is good flattery, and I love you. You're one of my favorite humans. But really, really, this is a life dream.
I mean, I used to listen to the Knapsack Files with all the Schmoes content
right. All
throughout high school. You guys basically like defined most of what I was listening to at that time. So
yeah. I appreciate that, and I'm so glad you came into the Schmoes Know fold. It's so interesting how that works sometimes because, you know, like you just said, you're a fan, and it's hard to cross that barrier from fan, supporter. Fan's a weird word. Supporter. You supported our stuff. Right. To working and being in the inner workings, and it's always risky because we're like, who are we opening our doors to? And you showed up in your nice, I remember your shirt, your tie. I think you addressed Mr. Ellis, you know, and we were like, who is this kid? And you have brought just a wonderful personality, energy, knowledge, and technical skills to the show. So I am honored to have you on my show.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I really appreciate that.
You talk about high school, which number one makes me old, but recent times, and I know you are currently in USC.
Yes.
Studying. Is it film proper? What are you studying?
Well, right now I'm studying cinema media studies. So okay. That's about like, you know, film criticism, critical studies, stuff like that. But I want to move into production sometime in the future.
Do you want to write, direct, be a PA for Cobster? What do you want to be?
Well, the long-term goal is to direct. And I think the longer-term goal is to have my own production company sometime in the future. So that's really what I'm trying to do.
When did this love of cinema kick in? When did it start?
Well, it's been in me for a very long time. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
And I would, like, my grandmother would watch a lot of, like, old Kung Fu movies, like, from the 70s, 80s, all, like, Bruce Lee, like, all that stuff. And my mother would like to watch a lot of, like, romantic comedies and stuff. So those are the two who, like, primarily raised me. So, like, I was just always indicted with, like, all of these, like.
So what's your favorite rom-com then?
Favorite rom-com? I mean, of all time, I'd probably say My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz?
Cameron Diaz, Julia Roberts.
I love that movie. I've said this before in the Knapsack Files, but I'll say it to you first. A trivia question. The girl who's dancing in the beginning of the opening credits is a girl named Rocky Alexander, and she was a bartender and a friend of mine at one of the pubs here locally.
Really?
So when I found out, I was overjoyed because My Best Friend's Wedding, 1997. I was like, you're the girl in the front. I understand. All right, we're on the same level there. We're on the same level. Yeah. What was the film? Do you remember a film or a moment where you like you switched from, oh, I like this stuff too, I want to be a part of this, I want to do it, and I want to understand it more?
Yeah, that was definitely Avatar, James Cameron's 2009 movie. That hit me right at a time where. Well, my parents, even though I wanted to be an actor when I was little, that really wasn't like realistic for like the circumstances we were in. So they really encouraged me to pursue something like engineering. So I participated in like science competitions, math competitions, stuff like that. And then, but it was really like Avatar was like a movie that was like, oh, this is something that can incorporate like math, science, engineering, like all the visual effects, all that stuff. But then it's also like the art of the movie, like the actors, like all that stuff combined. It's kind of like I finally saw what filmmaking was, and that's something that I became really interested in.
So for you, it's beyond just storytelling. It is an entire all-encompassing creative endeavor then.
Yes.
You want all of the parts.
Yeah. I mean, I've always looked at movies as, or at least my love for movies come through the experience of watching them. So even if like a film doesn't have like the greatest like story or characters, as long as I have an experience, as long as I feel something, that's when I really connect to
Yeah.
Cinema.
I mean, that's some deep stuff. You're a deep guy. And here's the thing I love about you. I mean, you're young. You're young. You're second year college?
Third year.
Going into the third?
Yeah, this is my third year. This is my second year at USC.
Gotcha.
I spent my first year at Cal State Northridge.
I think that makes... That's where some of my confusion is coming from. But regardless, you're still a young guy, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. You got a lot of life ahead of you. But you got a lot of life lived. And so it's when we hear you talk about stuff, you know, you have a very well-rounded, strong perspective, but it belies your age. So I'm always impressed with what you have to say, even though sometimes I'm like, actually, you know what? I disagree with Ace more than I disagree with you.
Really?
I'm kidding. I love Ace. What kind of stories – and all-encompassing stories do you want to tell? When you say you want to be a director, you were lightened up by Avatar and all that kind of stuff. What do you want to tell?
Well, I mean, I love, like, science fiction. I love all that stuff. But I don't think I'm necessarily, like, equipped to make those kinds of movies. I mean, maybe sometime down the line. But
yeah.
Well, the stories I really want to tell is something that, like, you don't see a lot of in cinema, which is, like a perspective, like an urban perspective,
right,
moving into like a world that's like unique and unfamiliar.
You
know what I mean? So for me, for example, like going from living in Compton, like,
right,
you know, surrounded, you know, by, you know, whatever happens in Compton, you know, violence, you know,
sure,
gangs and all that. But then moving into going into like USC and working in Hollywood and stuff like that, and how that change of environment kind of brings like a new eye-opening experience. And
right.
I think just kind of the idea of having a shift in your placement and how that affects a person, I think is really interesting.
That's where some of the deep stuff comes in. Again, you have a certain perspective, and where you grew up is different from mine and a lot of people. But so that being in a different environment and telling a story like that's very interesting. How do you want to do that though? Do you want to do it through a straight up story of, hey, here's a young boy coming out of Compton, or do you want to do it out in space? Like, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
How do you want to approach telling that story?
Well, see, it's funny because I have like a list of movie ideas at home,
right,
that I just kind of add to, and all of them are like very different ideas. Like I have an idea for like a basketball movie where, mm-hmm, it's like a kid who is coming out of college, first year in the NBA, but he has to experience like the kind of shady, like, dealings behind the scenes,
yeah,
and having to deal with that. For example, another movie that I've always envisioned is something where it's like a politician is advocating for new procedures, but as he's moving up inside like the ranks, yeah, of government, it becomes like a political thriller kind of deal,
yeah,
and how he managed to navigate, kind of like a House of Cards thing. But
yeah.
But it's not like all like black characters or
sure.
I don't usually kind of think that way. I just kind of think in general, like,
yeah,
you know, some ideas that would fit.
No, I get that. Do you feel responsibility to tell, like you said, these urban stories? Is it? Do you feel that that's something not just you want to do, that you have to do?
No, I don't think it's like a responsibility of mine to tell those kinds of stories, and I don't think it should be the responsibility of anybody to do that as well. I mean, like I think having the perspective of an urban environment is important if you want to tell those stories. Obviously, it's like, I don't think it's cool to have like somebody from like Minnesota, you know, directing like something like Shad Compton. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It doesn't really.
You want a little authenticity to what's going on.
Right, right. But at the same time, I think what filmmaking is exploring something outside of your realm, building a new world for people to enjoy.
Yeah. And which is what you talk about when you say this. I think you use the word displacement or not displacement, but
right,
in another environment and everything. That's some of the interesting stuff that I think you have a very specific story, an RB3 story, not the necessarily the biopic of RB3, but you have a wonderful perspective on that.
And you and
Andres Cabrera, Ace to the Schmoes No Fans, are launching a new podcast, or have by the time this is airing. And I'm intrigued by this because you guys talk about unique perspectives. You both bring it, and
Love hearing you guys talk. Ace is the most intense man in the world. And you are, with your laugh, people will think you are jovial. But you, like I said, have this really serious, studied side. So I'm curious to what you guys are going to bring. Again, this is released after. I haven't heard an episode yet here. How did this come about? What are you guys trying to do with it?
Well, Ace and I talk a lot, like, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. We mostly talk, like, a lot of, like, hip-hop, actually, like, hip-hop music, because I'm very passionate about that. He's pretty passionate about that as well. But us being partners on things like with Comic-Con the past couple of times, because we've been stuck together for a while, and we just have like really interesting conversations about different stuff in movies and in politics in general. So we just think that, and we both kind of see that cinema has something more to offer, under the skin, whether it's something that directors have to say about the world or the climate or whatever. So we both kind of want to talk about that and incorporate like social messages and themes into a podcast form. So that's how we develop something like The Meaning of It. We're also like really inspired by Alicia Malone's and Scott Mann's profiles.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like a mixture of both.
How do you plan to then break it down? The meaning of the name of it, so the meaning of, say, Pulp Fiction, because you're wearing a Pulp Fiction shirt, or the meaning of James Cameron? Like, how are you going to approach it? How do you break down each episode?
Right. Well, each episode is going to focus on a different director. Yeah. So, like, for the Pulp Fiction example, it would be, like, the meaning of Quentin Tarantino, where we break down, maybe not each movie in his filmography, but kind of the general themes and overarching ideas that carry on from film to film.
Do you guys ever disagree a lot? Do you have any spirited debates?
Yeah, we disagree on some things, and I think that's what is going to make it like a really interesting show. I think we see eye to eye on a lot of things, but there's also times where I might be reading very deeply into something that he might not necessarily be, or he looks at, because it's funny when we talk. As I say, like, I look more towards the experience and kind of like how I feel.
Yeah.
He looks at films more through like characters and stuff like that. So it's interesting when we have like these debates on like the movies that we're discussing, because we both come from different backgrounds on that, perspectives on that.
And you're going to mash them together. I don't want to get you guys fighting. I don't like fighting podcasts, but I'm just wondering. I could see you two having those kind of debates at last till 3 a.m, sipping some brandy, having this deep conversation about life, the universe, and everything. That would be fantastic. But I can't wait to hear what you guys come up with. I think it's something that's definitely needed on the Schmovezone Network, and I'm excited to see that this is finally happening. Have you guys been trying to do this for a while? Did Christian come to you guys? How did this actually come about?
Well, we had talked about wanting to do something together for a while. Initially, we thought like maybe we should do a hip hop podcast, because, like I said, we talk about hip hop a lot. But we wanted to do something for like the Schmoes Network, and do something movie related. So the original pitch was that we would talk about just like the social meanings and stuff like that of a filmmaker and whatnot. Like Ace kind of pitched it to Christian, and Christian said, you know, we should incorporate the more general aspects of these filmmakers and these, and things like that. And I mentioned profiles, and I think Christian also mentioned that as well. And
you guys could be the new Manson Malone there.
Maybe. I don't think we're, at least I'm not as pretty as Miss Alicia Malone.
You're a good looking man. You're an Instagram model. We've determined this on Schmoes No, man. You're sharp. I want to talk a little bit about the Schmoes No world. You said you want to be an actor, but you were probably a lot younger, right? When this happened. And I still think you could. You never know. All right. Your situation may have changed and everything. But you step into the Schmoes No world, and it's a wonderful, embracing, loving fan group. Even as it's grown, it's remained so, I think, in part because we create characters and you become RB3, though I'm sure that was the name you had before, right? Just a natural Robert Butler III.
It just worked. It always worked. Yeah.
Yeah. How are you having fun, or are you struggling with any kind of this new level of exposure?
I definitely don't think it's like a struggle for me. I really appreciate all of the fans and like people tweeting memes and asking me questions. Like, yeah. I just really enjoy that stuff a lot. And it's something that I never thought I would ever be like a part of.
A personality or
Yeah, just, you know, and I like when me and my family went to like Disneyland and like the Schmoes fan was there and walked up to me and said hi, like that was really honoring to me.
What did your family do?
And they're just like, what do you, cause I don't know if they actually understand what I do, like
fully grasp it.
Yeah.
That's a reoccurring theme, especially when it's even though digital and YouTube and all the stuff is old news to us. I mean, it's still, we're talking 10 years, but 5 years for what we do, the last 5 years has really been the boom of this stuff. So yes, Right. Sometimes it's, it gets a little interesting with explaining to the relatives that I do a show on YouTube, which is a website and an app and you can find it. So yeah, I can see that, but, that probably felt, like I said, good in a very humble way. You are such a humble young man. I don't know. Maybe you walk away from you're like, yeah, nailed it. I don't know. But that probably felt really good.
Yeah,
different,
but
good.
It felt incredible. That was definitely one of the highlights. And it happened again when I saw like Wonder Woman too. Yeah. Like me and some friends, I went to see Wonder Woman in downtown LA, and we just like after the show, like a couple guys walked up and said they were fans of the show. So that was very. That was very funny as well.
Do your friends get it as well?
They get it more. Yeah, they follow me on Twitter, so they see like when I might say something like controversial or something. They get what happens there. So
you have said some things that I wouldn't call controversial. You've spoken your mind. You've spoken with your heart, whether it's disagreeing with a movie or taking a bit of a stance on something. And that's hard to do in these times, especially when you have fans and sometimes fans just don't agree with you on things and they can be particularly harsh. Where have you found that that strength to be that guy? Where have you found that conviction?
Well, it's just like in the beginning, it was a little strange. I like talking my mind. I like speaking and whenever I have an opinion on something, I'm not really like willing to hide it.
Yeah.
So when it came, I know like the first big moment for me was when we were talking like Zootopia on the show.
Right.
And some people think I called it racist. I didn't really call it racist.
Right.
But,
right.
But
you didn't. You brought a different perspective.
And I don't even think it was that bad. But right. That was the first time I had like read comments and people were like, "Yo, this guy is a effing da 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 da."
Yeah.
So that caught me off a little bit off guard. Just from that point on, I just stopped reading comments.
Yeah.
Or especially for anything that I'm featured like predominantly on. So
it's one of the sad things of this, you know, outside of some of our, I mean, Schmoville is again very comforting.
Yes.
But there are things in there too that happen that come about. It's sad because there's a great community out there and there's great comments and there are positive comments and there's comments that are like, hey, maybe I don't disagree with your take on Zootopia. Here's my take. And maybe they want to enter some sort of discourse, and discourse is great. Discourse leads to change. Discourse leads to understanding. But it's sad that that's all lost because a lot of people just ruin it.
Right, right. And I love having conversations with people online. Like,
yeah.
You could see me, like, even though maybe if it's a video I made or I'm in, I might not look at the comments for it, but if it's something like movie talk or anything, I'm always in the comments, like, talking with fans or in the Facebook forums and whatnot. So I enjoy that. I enjoy talking with people.
Had you called into Schmoes before? You were, like, I know you were a supporter of us, but had you... You've been involved a little bit before, right? You weren't a complete stranger to us.
Yeah. Before I started working there, it was like my junior and senior year of high school. I started helping Christian upload like the old SK shows.
Yeah.
And putting them from the Toad Hop to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So that was like really my exposure before. And then I won like Schmovillian of the Week one week.
Right. I do remember that.
That was
phase five, right?
It was phase five. Yeah. Yeah. That was a golden moment for me. That was like a highlight, of like my high school years was getting that. And then I called into the show once and I've had a few run-ins with you guys.
It's kind of fun to look back. I mean, I still remember meeting Ace for the first time. I think it was at WonderCon or Stanley's Comic-Con, one of the LA-based cons. I can't remember that particularly, but I do remember him coming up, introducing it, and he was working alongside and for a friend of mine named Michelle Ehrman over the QU. And so I was like, oh, okay, you're Michelle approved. You're a good guy. And it was like it just made sense. So I always love those first meetings, even though I didn't I couldn't have picked Robert Butler III out of a crowd. I do remember you winning Schmovillion of the Week and uploading those videos. You're at USC now. What does that mean? What's that experience? Because, you know, I did not go to college. I did 2 years of community college and was planning to go to Cal State Northridge or looking at that for film and screenwriting. And my friend did at the time. That's why I moved to LA. I moved to him. My friend Joel Trudgeon went to CSUN, and now he's actually taught some screenwriting there. He's over at Valley College and everything. So I never had that experience because I started my radio career. And USC, I mean, that's pretty big. That's pretty important, right? I mean, that's fun, but also that's big. It's daunting.
Yeah.
How's your experience there?
It's been great. It's funny because like USC has been also like my dream school for ever since I was a little kid. Even when I was going to pursue something in engineering, I still wanted to go
still
to
USC.
Yeah.
Okay, that's because I would have just taken it as film because that's what I associate. And the school's obviously got a lot more, but
And it's the number one film school in the world, so it's definitely something that I've always wanted to get into. And it's a cool program. I mean, right now, since I'm doing cinema media studies, it's a lot of like reading, a lot of film theory, writing a lot, watching a lot of movies, which is cool. I appreciate that, but I also appreciate a lot of the production side. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when I have a lot of friends who are like majoring in production, so they're shooting short films like almost every weekend and stuff. And a lot of times when they need help, I'll help them on set as like a PA or a gaffer or a grip or something like
that.
And beyond that, I mean, it's been helping me motivate to push more towards the next steps that I'm willing to pursue.
As a young man, a young person in this time, and you talk about the next steps, I mean, I didn't find my career path. I found it, then I lost it, and I found it again, and I'm still searching. I'm still always adapting what I'm trying to do. Sometimes to a detriment, sometimes okay. But how are you approaching? It's a daunting task to be a young man coming out of USC, and you know you got working with us. But there's a lot of ways to go. How do you approach the future? Do you have a plan, or are you just winging it? What are you doing?
I'm one of those guys that likes to have a plan for everything.
Right.
It's funny. Like now, I was just talking to a friend of mine about this. Before getting into USC, before working with Schmoes, like those are my goals. You know, I wanted to intern somewhere. I didn't know necessarily where, but I wanted to intern like in my freshman or sophomore year of college, and I wanted to get to USC. And I ended up accomplishing both of those goals because I had like a very specific plan on how I was gonna do those things. And
Hold up a dean or, you know, blackmail a teacher? What do you got here? I want to hear this specific. I'm fascinated by this because you're reaching your goals, including getting to this damn show. Do you sit down and on a piece of paper? Do you envision your future? I'm fascinated that you're brushing off a great accomplishment here. This is Knapsack Files. Be more open to everything. At what point were you like, I'm going to USC. Here's how I'm going to do it. How did you come to that point?
Well, like I said, I wanted to go since high school, but I didn't get in initially. And the reason being for that is because really the real reason is my senior year of high school was just like almost non-existent. I'd almost completely given up at that point.
Why is that? I mean, is the stuff you want to talk about or is it just lost your way?
It was some personal things that happened in my life. Like I had my heart broken earlier in that school year.
Oh yeah.
And it was a lot of little things. I had done drama, for example, like theater class. I was one of the theater kids for like all 4 years. And the first 3 years it was I had like a group of friends who were all in the same place together. We all like rode together, and like the fourth year they weren't in it and I was still in it. So I was just like, I'm kind of the only one left behind. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it was crazy because I didn't really care a lot about school, but I was involved in a lot of extracurriculars. So like I said, I was in theater, I was in dance. I was like the ASB like secretary. I was like the president of like three clubs.
You're like Max Fisher from Rushmore.
Right, yeah.
Not necessarily interested in the day-to-day schoolwork, but all the outside stuff, the exciting stuff, the fun stuff, where I think the true learning comes from.
Right, definitely. And I think all of my experiences through my leadership opportunities are what gained me the ability to do things like outside of school. So, like I... in high school, see, my GPA wasn't the greatest because I went to a super advanced high school that was very math and science oriented.
Right.
So it was all like engineering, AP biology, physics, like AP calculus, BC, and all that stuff. And I was good at that stuff, but I just, like I said, I kind of checked out. And I was showing up to class late a lot.
This is your senior year.
My senior year, yes.
You get your heart broken. Give me a hug. Come on, it's going to be okay. I mean, that's going to affect you. So it seems like you got off course.
Yeah. And it wasn't, and it was just, yeah. And my friend group started to change a lot. And it was just a weird time. So,
yeah, I get you.
And it was almost to the point where like the principal had called me into his office and was like, you have like 60 something tardies if you don't.
60 something tardies? Yeah. You're like worse than Ferris Bueller, my friend.
He was just like, yeah, if you don't fix this, we're going to kick you out of school. So I was like,
This is Rushmore.
Yeah.
This is Rushmore. He's the worst student we got. Right. But it seemed like they were, again, you were off course and they were recognizing, hey, you're an all-star who's, not showing up for games here.
Right. And it was padded by the fact that I had a full ride scholarship already. I had the Gates Millennium Scholarship, which is under Bill Gates and his foundation that pays for your full ride of college for like all 4 or 5 years.
Oh, when did you get that?
I got it in the middle of my senior year. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you were already maybe having a bad year. Get this. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little. Did a complacency set in? You're a little depressed.
Maybe. Yeah.
Again, something like that. So, but you lost. You lost your course. You went off track. You didn't lose your way. Yeah. You kind of stepped off the path for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think this is part of your story. Is how did you get back on that path? Because you're on one now.
Right.
How did you do that? Because that's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. And it's definitely. I began focusing on more of the things that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I began doing more things in film. Like I said, I was helping you guys with the SK Plus stuff. So it was like I got to some fulfillment. And
did we contribute to your tardiness?
No, not at all. No. And it's funny. And I think it's my mom or my grandmother might think that because every morning I would like wake up and start playing like a Schmoes No Show or like a Knapsack Files or a Movie Talk or something like that.
I'm to blame.
But no, it's definitely not you guys. It was just like, it was a different time. And I'm glad I got past the way I ended up. Like I said, I got more involved in doing more film things. Not getting into USC was like a big thing for me in terms of I got to start straightening up and figuring out what the next steps of that going to be. So in doing that, I began like reaching out to counselors, advisors, figuring out what I could improve on my application.
Right.
What can I do better next time I apply? And just began like actively working towards those goals. So like during my first year of CSUN, I did really well. I had like a 3.9 GPA.
Right.
And I had mentioned some things on my essays that I hadn't mentioned before. That I think really helped. I think the fact that I'm a full scholarship recipient helps a lot.
Yeah.
So that all those aspects really help.
But so, you talked about USC is what you wanted. USC is a plan you put into place, and then you don't get it. And that's an early exposure to huge disappointment that can knock people. You talk about being off course. That can set you back tremendously.
Right.
So take me to that moment where you get either a letter or a call or, God forbid, just a text. I don't know how it works these days. Saying, sorry, RB3, your dream isn't happening right now. Take me to that exact moment.
Right. Well, in high school, I was the president of this group called the National Society of Black Engineers. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like an engineering collective of like young minority students who travel to conferences like all around the country. So our conference that year was in Anaheim. So it was about March of 2015. We were in our conference, and that was the day that me and about 7 or 8 other students were receiving our letters back for getting into school. And I believe like almost none of us got into the schools that we wanted to get into. So it was like a collective thinking moment for a lot of us.
And what was your specific thought? You open up that letter. Take me to this painful moment, RB3. Go deep with me. I know it's not the Beardo podcast. I'm not going to make you cry.
Right.
But you pull this letter out and boom.
Yeah. I mean, it was heartbreaking. It was like, you know, all of these like past 4 years are like, what is it? What was it really worth? What am I going to do now? Because I had received a few rejections before, but they weren't from schools that really like mattered as much.
Right.
So it was definitely like almost like I have to think about what I could do better in trying to transfer to USC because I still wanted to go there. The only place in California that had been accepted to was CSUN. Mm-hmm. And I got accepted to a few out-of-state schools, but I wasn't really interested in leaving the state. So it was like, okay, you want to be close to home. You should cut out like a lot of the stuff that is distracting you and just focus straight on your academics and your work in the film and what you can do better to for. So for me, like a setback is always just more motivation to step forward. So I've always had that mentality.
That's great. Where'd you get that from? Did you just learn it on your own? Family put that to you? Where'd you pick that up?
Yeah, I think it's family. It's definitely, I mean, I was raised mostly by my mother and my grandmother.
Okay.
And my father became more involved in my life, like in my teenage years. Him and my mom bought a house together in right when I was starting in high school.
Okay.
But there was like a lot of tension between me and my dad when he like initially moved in. So it was a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting. But in doing that and having those moments of tension, I was able to like reflect back on like some earlier moments in my life with me and my mom. Because there was times when my mom and I were sleeping in like my great grandmother's room. We were like sharing like a tiny closet space together. So it was like I was able to learn from her struggles and her issues and how to forward myself, and try and hopefully someday, you know, take care of her because she's been taking care of me my entire life. So,
and I've had the pleasure of meeting your wonderful mother, and you know, she's done a great job with you. Clearly, that's some deep stuff going back a ways that you're pulling up. So you go this disappointing moment of your life, and then you set your goals, reset. Dig in your heels. You're working with us, having some fun as RB3 of Schmoes Know. And then the word comes that you're going to USC. Take me to that moment, which is a good moment.
That was a great moment, actually. It's funny because that happened in between the summer of my freshman and sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. And I was working, I believe I was like editing some videos for the Schmoes or whatever. But a lot of those summer days were just me at my home in Compton, just like sitting at the table on my laptop. So I think, like I said, I don't know if my parents necessarily get what I do. So a lot of times when they just see me on like the laptop or whatever, it's like, why are you not working? It's like, I am working. So it was one of those moments, like it was literally one of those moments where like my mom was like yelling at me about like just sitting around the house all day, like not doing anything where I'm actually like editing. And then, but then we got the mail, and when you get accepted, it comes as a package.
Right.
So like they had to knock at the door. We open the door, we get the package, and it says from University of Southern California. So I was like, oh, this might be it. So and we open it, and it was like a joyous moment for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the
tears, hugs.
Yeah, definitely lots of tears, lots of hugs.
Yeah.
And it was it was beautiful. It's and we had that experience before because applying to my high school, you had to apply to my high school as well. Like you had to apply, you had to interview, you had to submit big projects and stuff like that.
Where was this high school? I'm not familiar with it.
It's called the California Academy of Math and Science. It's in Carson, California.
Okay.
So it's pretty close to where I'm from Compton.
Sure.
But it's a very accelerated school. So it serves a lot of people from like the South Bay, Torrance.
Gotcha.
Long Beach, like a lot of areas, and they bring in a few students from different high schools and middle schools. I should say.
So you didn't stumble into that one, obviously. That is an early success as well. And you mentioned you want to be an actor early on, and then your parents are like, "Nah, we need to go more this direction," mm-hmm. Which makes some sense. It doesn't seem like they're putting a damper on your plans. They're just saying, "Hey, here's another path that might be." It's like trying to be a catcher in Major League Baseball. You're going to get to the majors quicker if you learn how to be a catcher. So do you? Engineering, math, and all, you love that stuff. That's part of you, right?
Right. No,
but to be that young, I guess what I'm trying to say, and have them go, all right, it's time to learn to be a scientist, basically.
Right.
How did young RB3 take to that?
Well, it was also part of me being awesome. I was very interested in the idea of like building rockets and building planes and stuff like, cause sure. it's just cool. You know, as like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid, it seems like a cool thing to do.
Did you watch movie October Sky?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched that recently too.
I love that one.
Yeah. It's a classic. And they have, I was also really good at math. It's just like a natural thing with me. I just always been naturally good with numbers, even from like elementary school.
Right.
And then middle school, I was so good that they put me in like this competitive math competition like club. So we were
competitive,
like,
addition, competitive subtraction and division.
Right.
I mean, I guess I could guess that's the thing. You got any trophies from that time?
Yeah, we did. We won a lot of awards, and like, for example, we had this mayor of your own city kind of challenge where you have to build your own city, but it had to be like environmentally like friendly and stuff like that. So
sure.
We use like the Sim game and whatnot.
Oh, I love the Sims.
Yeah.
Well, not that I love Sim City.
Sim City. There
Sim
it is.
City.
There
Sim
it
City is. 2000, one of the greatest games of
yes,
time.
Yes, yes. And I believe that's what we use. So we had to build a city virtually and then also build it up on like, you know, like as a display. And that was probably like our biggest success. We ended up getting second place on that.
Wow.
I ended up doing like a big science competition in Houston. We got like the bronze medal. We did something in Istanbul, Turkey.
Did you go there?
Yeah, we went.
Holy moly, man.
Yeah, it was funny because nobody, like, I couldn't afford the tickets and nobody at the school could afford to go out there and do that. So what I ended up doing is like writing a letter to Turkish Airlines and asking them, "Hey, we're just some kids, you know, in here from Compton and Carson, and we want to compete in the science competition, but none of us have the money to go. Would you be willing to, you know, provide some tickets?" And they did. They handed us like 12 flights to Istanbul.
Really?
Yeah. So that was my eighth grade year.
Turkish Airlines. Yeah. Shout out to them for stepping up.
Right.
And for you for writing this letter. I imagine you taking a quill, dipping it on your tongue and writing, "Dear sirs and madams of Turkish Airlines."
Right.
That's spectacular, man.
Right. So, I've always had like that instilled like math and science background. And that was something like, again, like it was something I was interested in a lot in like middle school. But after seeing like Avatar and stuff, that's when I was like, I like film more. Mm-hmm. I like doing that more. But my parents still really wanted me to go into engineering because that just made a lot more sense.
Right.
Still, you know, the odds of being a filmmaker is like a million and one.
Correct. So is there still any kind of pressure on you to do that path? Or is it they understand what you're, maybe not necessarily what you're doing on YouTube, but they understand the path now?
Oh, they understand now, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of like tug and pull, like especially like my last year of middle school, first year of high school. And that's when my dad became more involved in my life too. And he really wanted engineering for me. So it was like, I had to like fight like almost like everybody in my family to try and convince them that, yo, film is what I want. Cause it's understandable. And in their minds, it's like, oh, it's just a phase. It's a phase he's going through.
Sure.
He's going to do it for like,
you know, when you were dancing as Spider-Man in that drama thing of video.
Right. But I did do dance for like all 4 years.
Oh, I've seen your moves, my friend. I've seen your moves.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So it was like a phase to them. RB3 is going to grow out of it. Not that your family calls you RB3, but in my head canon, they do.
Right.
And then
my dad does.
Your dad does?
Yeah.
Perfect. Beautiful. Is he RB2?
No, he doesn't go by RB2. He doesn't. I don't know why. We should start calling him.
He should be on Twitter as RB2. Yeah. Man. Come on. I want to see. We should bring him into Schmoes. So you're still not necessarily fighting it, but I understand it's a hard road. This is business. And I used to discuss this with my therapist when I was in the really deepest parts of my depression, is like, there's no end point. Mm-hmm. And even when you get it, I left my day job and I'm in an industry, I'm having a great time, it could vanish at any second, mm-hmm. just the way the business works. So I understand it's a risk. And engineering, not so much of a risk. Right. Not as exciting, but it's not a risk and it's steady. So I understand that push and pull.
Right.
But you're here to try to make it.
Yeah.
You're here to tell your stories.
Absolutely.
What?
It's the journey. It's the hope.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
And you're still on it. You got a plan? What's this plan now? If you don't want to spill your plan so that people copy it here. But you got a success happening here. What's the immediate next step? Take over Schmoes? film a movie? What do you got?
Well, right now, I kind of think within the next 5 years, there's a few things I want to accomplish. I definitely want to finish school. Which even if I change majors at this point, it might require an extra year, mm-hmm. which I'm fine with because my scholarship would pay for. Mm-hmm. But I'd also like to continue into graduate school as well. Maybe still going to USC. But at the same time, I would like to find like a job that would allow me to work full time while also managing, you know, doing a little bit of school here and there. And after graduate school is where I want to try and find a specific avenue and lane. I know I want to develop web content in the immediate future. I want to start like a production company of my own.
Right.
I don't know if that'll come after college or what, but I want to do that very soon and develop like a couple of different web series that I have ideas for and I'm beginning to like to write and put together now. So hopefully by the time I could acquire like the funds and the funding necessary to do that stuff, I could have it already. So,
do you jot these all down in a big folder called RB3 Takes Over the World?
I wish. I write down a lot of the ideas that I have.
Yeah.
And I just typically think of trying to speak things into existence.
Yeah.
I've always had like that mentality of like, if I keep saying things that I want to go for, what I want to achieve, hopefully those things will come to fruition.
I'm still trying to learn that. So if you're grasping that now, you're ahead of the game, which is why I believe you have a bright future in front of you here. In closing, as we wrap up here, I want to talk about some Schmoes stuff. Look, we're just a bunch of yahoos. Let's be clear about that. And you're showing up and you're joining the team. At what point, I know it's weird for me to say, because again, I think we're a bunch of yahoos, but it probably is a little surreal.
Yeah.
Sitting around, you got Grumpy Pit Boss in the corner, you got Baby Carrots, you got Mark Riley, wild man screaming and shouting.
Right.
At what point, what was the most surreal moment early on, and then what was the point where you're like, all right, I'm over that, I'm here, I'm part of this team?
Right. No, it was definitely the day I interviewed, when you guys interviewed me in front of Barney's. That was like,
such a classy business location.
No, it was like,
hey, you know, Cody had a parking lot in front of Chili's, so you got to at least sit down.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Yeah. That's the honor. But no, it was so like dreamlike, like walking up and seeing you sitting there, seeing Ellis there, seeing Copster getting ready to interview me. Mm-hmm. It was like sleepwalking, like almost like, oh, what is this? Where am I? And
right.
And that even continued until like the first few weeks of the show.
Yeah.
And you could probably tell that if you watch like the first couple of shows.
Yeah.
Very nervous, very like shy and stuff, because I'm just like starstruck by like everybody there. So.
You're very soft spoken at times. Other times you're loud and boisterous and laughing your ass off, which we love. But yeah, it's just part of your nature. You probably were a quiet kid, weren't you?
Yeah, very much.
You're like me. I we're in the same boat.
Yeah, yeah, and it's definitely because like I'm an only child, so and really like single parent too.
Yeah.
So it was really only two of us.
Right.
And I've just always been like a natural like introvert too.
Sure.
Just throughout my entire life.
Sure.
I'm very comfortable just like being by myself, like putting on headphones to go places, so I don't have to hear other people. I'm just one of those kind of guys, I guess. So
you, when did it click in that, all right, you're part of this team? What was there a moment where you're like, I'm here now? I'm RBF3.
Yeah, I mean, it was. There wasn't like a particular moment. Well, I will say the one moment that I think I really started becoming more involved, I think, was there was like that whole episode of The Decision.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, it just couldn't upload to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So I had like went around and tried to hack up a quick way to like fix it and re-upload it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if this is like public information, so maybe I shouldn't be saying
that. Say it.
But yeah, it's like if you go back and watch the episode of The Decision, like with Clark Wolf and Riley, like the reason it looks kind of fuzzy is because like I was just like screen grabbing the whole thing off my computer and like re-uploading it. So
you saved the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was like saving that show, but it looks horrible. And like now I know a way that I could have done it a lot better.
Yeah.
But it was like, that was the only method I had back then. So
you're a superhero, my friend.
Don't you worry about it. I appreciate that.
Well, we are so glad you're part of the Schmoes Know team. And I believe this is true when I say it. I think you have a bright future, but also you're part of the future of Schmoes or anything beyond. And I'm confident in anyone who has such a plan and has learned already valuable lessons and fought hard for what he wants. And it's inspiring to hear that.
You know,
addressing failures, hardships, and not only are you going strong, you're flourishing. So
appreciate that.
I hope you look yourself in the mirror and can pat yourself on that Instagram model back.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So tell everyone where they can find you, follow you, and of course the show with Ace, where they can find that.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RB3Schmoes. And you can follow the show, The Meaning Of, with myself and Ace. We're going to be going live on Tuesday, September 26th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be going every Tuesday on the SK Plus network.
Great.
So the YouTube channel for SK Plus on the Schmoes Know podcast feed, and we're going to be there. So
I love it. I love it. Best of luck to that. I know it's already succeeding and will continue to succeed. You guys both have so much to give to that discussion on film and these modern times. And as always, it's a pleasure. When you laugh, I know I've done my job, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on in. I hope you weren't disappointed by this dream, RB3, to be on the Amazon Files.
No, this has been living a dream, so this is great.
I appreciate it. Guys, you know the drill. You can find us on Facebook. Give us a like there. Follow me at Ken Napzok. There is a Patreon page if you choose to support. Go to patreon.com/TheNapzokFiles and support. You get a lot of fun stuff there. And sometimes I just hop on to talk Game of Thrones. All right, we'll see you guys next time on The Napzok Files.